if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great Hall of Faith chapter. And I do want to spend our time this morning considering our dual citizenship. Our dual citizenship. It's interesting to be able to speak with folks in this area, and they will talk about their dual citizenship, and they're speaking of an opportunity to go to another country, and when they arrive in that country, they have a passport for that country, and so they arrive and they get in line with others that have a passport for that country, and then when they return to the United States, they have a passport for this country. And in many ways, there will be those that would say they're dual citizens, and they've been afforded that opportunity. It's amazing to me to hear of those that speak multiple languages, and it's amazing to hear. We just interacted with someone. They said that their mother spoke seven languages, and I'm struggling with the one that I have. And it's amazing to me to hear of those that speak multiple languages, and they know so much about the history of nation upon nation. I was sitting across the table from a gentleman yesterday that was rehearsing some of the history of the nation he was born into, and the things that affected both he and his family, and then back into his grandparents and ancestry. And it is amazing to learn of the different challenges that have been there in these different nations. I want to look this morning, though, at a dual citizenship that's quite different than being a citizen of two countries down here. And I want to speak on this matter of God and country. God and country and being a dual citizen. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd read with me verses 13 through 16, this great chapter in the Hall of Faith, and we look and consider one of the specific individuals that's mentioned in this great chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The Bible speaking here this morning of a man by the name of Abram and his wife Sarai, and their desire to follow God's leading, Genesis chapter 12, and being a part of this new called out group, called out assembly, if you would, and they would become the nation of Israel. The Bible says that God called Abram to leave his home place. Look there in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham was called by God to go to a special land. It was this land that would be given to God's people. It was a prepared place. It was a special place. We read later on that God described it as a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was not only a prepared place and a special place, but it was a place of plenty, more valuable than the countries. Though that they possessed here on the earth, there was a land that they looked for on the other side. And on this special day of God and country, being mindful of the value of the country that we have, I want us to consider the place of the believer both in this land and in the land that we look for one day. What does the Bible say about our citizenship as it relates to God and country? Would you notice first of all with me our dual citizenship? Now there are individuals that would say that they're members or that they're a citizen of different countries here on the earth, But when I speak of the matter of dual citizenship, I'm not only speaking of this great country, I'm speaking of a country that I look forward to. God has abundantly blessed in allowing me to be born in the United States of America. I've had the privilege of traveling outside the United States of America, and I've had the privilege of seeing many wonderful countries abroad. But I am ever so grateful that God allowed me to be born here in this area. At the time that I was born, my folks lived in McLean, Virginia, and my mom's doctor was working out of a suburban hospital up in Bethesda, Maryland. So they crossed the state line and gave birth to me there in Maryland. And so I have a Maryland birth certificate, but a Virginia upbringing. And for whatever reason, I was blessed by Almighty God. I can't explain it, but He was ever so good to allow me to be brought into this land, and not only into this land, but right here in this area of the country. I love this great land. It is a land of freedom. I know that there are many blemishes on this land. I know that there are many things that we would seek to improve. But I am so thankful for the freedoms that God has given to us. God has afforded my wife and I the opportunity to see all but three of the states in this country. Now, one of them wasn't for very long, and I will acknowledge that when we came nearby Nebraska, we drove in, stopped at a gas station, got a drink, and then headed back out. But that's just the nature of Nebraska, all right? I think it was the only gas station. If you're from Nebraska, please don't be offended. You know what I'm talking about. But when I saw the sign and it said Nebraska, like 3 miles away from the route we were taking, I said, we need to go into Nebraska because there's not really any other reason to be necessarily in that arena. But I tell you, I love the mountains and I love the majesty of this great land. I love the Midwest and the black soil that gets turned over in the springtime and planting season. And then I love the nature of the golden harvest that you'll find. I love traveling down through the arena of Lake Tahoe and up in Carson City, Nevada. And I joked with my wife many years ago when we had the opportunity to come down in Northern California and to see Lake Tahoe. I said to my wife, I said, whoever found this first on that horse and wagon, he probably looked over at his wife and said, honey, please don't tell anyone about this. And they thought that they'd have it to themselves for years to come. And we drove down, and boy, there's just so much majesty throughout this land. I love in the Northeast and the different things. I was speaking with someone, and this is hard for me to say as a New York Yankees fan, but the city of Boston is a tremendous city in our country. And I love the nature of the city of Boston and all the history that is there in the New England states. When my family left here in 1991, we moved to Florida. And we lived in Florida for a brief period of time. I'll just be honest with you, it was too hot. It was way too hot for us. And we'd come out of Virginia with all four seasons, and at different times we'd have a big snow here. And when we moved to Florida, we heard people in the church that said, we're going to drive 6 hours north this afternoon to see the leaves change. And I just looked at them and I thought to myself, you're going to drive 6 hours to see leaves change. Okay, all right. But man, there's so many wonderful things there in the state of Florida and on our Gulf Coast and everything like that. Boy, as you travel around the country, there's many wonderful sights, the mountains and the majesty. I love the monuments here that we've been blessed with here in this area specifically. I love being downtown and seeing the nature of the monuments. I enjoy being downtown most at night, in the tranquility of the night, and to reflect upon what has been written about the foundation of our nation and the men and women that sacrificed so much for our country to be established. I love to study the history of the United States of America. And I'm thankful that in school growing up here that they emphasized that we would know where we've come from and that we'd learn from both our triumphs and our defeats. And so I love to study the history of our nation. I tell you what, I love our nation's flag. I'm ever so thankful for the United States and the United States flag. And I know there's a lot of different opinions right now about the nature of the flag and the national anthem, but I tell you, I will not kneel when the national anthem is played. I will not disrespect the many men and women that have sacrificed themselves that we might have this flag and to have the freedom that the flag represents. I'm very thankful for the United States flag. And I'm very thankful that there are those that were willing to sacrifice so much. And we recognize that when there are those that see the flag, that they know a friend is on the way. And I'm very thankful for those that would be an enemy of this great land, that they would see that flag and know that there is a daunting enemy on the way as well. I love the flag of the United States of America. I love our military. We've been very blessed through the years to be involved with many military events. And I'm very thankful that early on our parents took us to the Marine Corps Sunset Parade and the evening parade and everything involved with that. And I'm thankful that we've been able to expose our kids to that. I'm thankful for the recognition that we give at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the soldiers that were known only to God. And the reverence that is still given to all of those soldiers that gave their lives and sacrificed. And I'm thankful for the respect that is given by soldiers that will stand guard over that tomb. It's amazing to me to watch the silent drill team. If you're ever in an opportunity where you can see one of our silent drill teams, it is amazing at how well they have prepared themselves and they go through the paces and see the demonstration of the precision of each of these times of parade and things like that. I remember the first time that I stepped on the location of Paris Island, and I think I was 32 years old, and I recognized that as we went on base at Paris Island that I was thoroughly impressed as I looked around at the many young men and women that were being trained there at Paris Island. I was thoroughly impressed. But then at 32 years old, I also realized that I was thoroughly inferior. And I'm looking at these 18 and 19 year olds that are in perfect shape. And my friend was graduating from drill instructor school. And for the next 3 years, he was going to be a drill instructor at Paris Island. And he took me around and showed me some different things. And I was fascinated by the training that was taking place there of our future Marines. It just brings me to this point that I want to declare this morning. I'm so thankful for our freedom. Freedom is not free. And there are many that work out at the forefront to protect our freedoms, and there are many that work behind the scenes to protect our freedom. And they have a thankless job. It's very rare that anyone would even know what they've done that we might be free. But I am ever so thankful for the freedoms that God has given to us in this great land. It's interesting to me that there are many outside this country that hate us so much, and yet it seems that everyone wants to come here to have a taste of the freedom that we've been blessed with. I am a citizen of this great land, and I am thankful for my citizenship here in the United States of America. But as I declared, I'm a dual citizen. In April of 1976, I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and Jesus saved my soul. Just as I am thankful for the men and women that have sacrificed so much that we might be free in this nation, I am eternally grateful for the one that took upon flesh and was born of a virgin and lived here on this earth that he might provide for me freedom, not from the nature of the oppressor, but from the nature of sin and sin's ultimate punishment. In John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus there by night, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 and verses 15 through 18, The Lord goes on and he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that's you and that's me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says to all of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says this, ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Revelation chapter 3 in verse number 20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. On different occasions, as I would prepare for a teen missions trip and we would be going out of the country, I would say to the young people, you need to come by and bring me your documentation that we're going to turn in so that you can get your United States passport. And on occasion, they'd bring to me their different documents and they'd bring me their mother's copy of their birth certificate. And it was fancy and it was nice, and sometimes they have both of their feet there on it and stamped on that, and it looks really nice and everything like this, but I had to tell them, I had to say, no, that's not the seal that you need to be identified as a citizen of the United States. That document, though pretty neat and though very memorable and though ever so cute because your feet are on it, is of no value as we consider the document that's really needed. And so they'd go back through the process. They'd call the health department from the area that they were born or had to go back to, and they'd send the document, and it had the official seal. And I'd say to them, okay, we can move forward and get your documentation. Can I just tell you for just a moment? The seal that we have in Christ Jesus is the Holy Spirit of God himself. And we are sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. And I tell you today, I stand before you not as an individual that deserved the salvation. I stand before you as an individual that was saved by the grace of Almighty God. I did not deserve the opportunity to be born in this location. My mom had moved here from the Midwest. My dad had moved here from the Northeast. And they just happened to meet in this locale. And I just happened to be born with the great privilege of being exposed to this area and being exposed in my childhood to all the things that we have for us here. And I'm so thankful for my citizenship here in the United States of America, but I've got a greater citizenship. And in April of 1976, God sealed my citizenship in heaven. And so I am a sinner that has been saved by the grace of Almighty God. You might say I was reborn in Jesus Christ. Well, no, Pastor, I was born okay the first time. Well, the truth is, according to the Scriptures, you and I were born in sin the first time. And because of the nature of Adam's choice in the garden and his sin, sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But God said it was necessary for you and for me to be reborn. And that new birth is found only in Jesus Christ. Well, I would declare to you today that there are several paths to citizenship in the United States. There is only one path to citizenship in heaven. And it is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is according to his mercy that he saves us. You see, I had no say in the fact that my parents would bring me into this world. I had no say that my parents at the time would be living here in the Northern Virginia area and travel across the way there into Bethesda, Maryland. I had no say in any of that. But there was a night that I did bow my head and I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I became a dual citizenship. Or I became a dual citizen. Do you have that same testimony this morning? Has there been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior? There are many paths to come into the United States. There is only one path that leads to heaven. Number one, our dual citizenship. Number two, would you consider with me our duty in citizenship? What is our responsibility? I am a citizen of this great nation, and I am a citizen of that heavenly place. I'm on my way to heaven. Well, what does God want me to do while I'm still down here? Think to yourself for a moment, wouldn't it have been nice if the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ, He would have just taken you to heaven right then? You trusted Christ, hey, glad you've done that, you're going to come right into heaven right then. Well, no, God has left us here for a purpose. Now, so many in this assembly have traveled outside the United States, and I do trust that you are a good citizen as you travel outside the United States. It is interesting observing other nationalities as they do a myriad of different things while they're in other countries. My wife and I have observed on many mission trips how different cultures respond, how different people act and react to things that are going on. And we sit and we observe. We observe what the plane looks like after groups and groups of people have gotten off the plane from a 14-hour flight. It can be quite interesting to see how all that unfolds. We've observed cultures. We've observed citizens of other places. But I would tell you this, when I travel and take kids on a mission trip, I'm always desirous of them acting appropriately. I don't want them to offend. I want them to be good ambassadors. When we arrive on a mission field, we'll often speak with a missionary, and he'll give us different do's and don'ts. On many occasions, we'll get kind of a piece of paper that will delineate for us what we should do and what we should not do. What are some things that culturally would be offensive in that area? Perhaps things that we're used to having in our everyday life here in the United States, and you arrive in their nation and it's much different there, and they have a different response. And so the missionary warns us and says, don't do this kind of a thing. You deal with the nature of the language barriers. And you're saying something and perhaps they're not understanding what you're saying, or perhaps you're using the correct word, but it's a wrong pronunciation. Have you ever done that? My wife and I were in Porto Alegre, Brazil, and I'll tell this on her. We were in McDonald's, and she was trying to order a chocolate shake, and she wanted to wax eloquent in Portuguese. And so she had listened to the missionaries that had ordered things, and she thought she had the word down, and she was not ordering it correctly in Portuguese. So instead of ordering a chocolate shake, she was ordering something very different. I shouldn't tell you what she was ordering, but the lady there at the stand at McDonald's was saying, I don't think that's what you want in your shake. Basically, it involved diapers from babies. And so the lady standing there, she wants to take my wife's order. My wife is saying it. The lady's just puzzled and just like, no, I don't think that's what you want. Well, I want to go and I want to be a good representative. Well, there's a reason why God has you and me as believers here. Because God desires for us to be light. God desires for us to be salt. I spoke on this just a few weeks ago in the nature of our being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ while we're here. Yes, I'm a citizen of this land. Yes, I turn in my passport and it's stamped and I receive it back. And yes, people identify me and say, hey, he's from this nation or that nation. But above that, I desire to be a good citizen and a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I have loved in travel is meeting believers all over this globe on many different continents. And I tell you what, even though we have a language barrier and do not have the ability at this time to communicate one to another, it is amazing to hear them say in their language the name of Jesus Christ and to sing His praises and to listen to the people that rejoice in the saving grace of Jesus Christ And these people are being salt and light in their nations. And in some of these nations, it is very, very dark. And there is great oppression to the truth going forward. And so I say to all of us, as dual citizens, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do have a responsibility on this earth. You do have a responsibility, first of all, first and foremost. I think we ought to pray for our country every single day. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." This is the Apostle Paul pouring out his heart and saying to all that would listen, "My heart's desire is that my national people might be saved." Well, I wonder how often we as believers bow the knee and ask God to bring revival to our nation. Ask God to bring salvation to the doors of person upon person upon person that we interact with. I wonder if we really pour our heart out to God and instead of complaining about all that's not right, as believers we recognize we have been blessed. And there are still so many that are without the fold that need Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to pray for our country every day. Number two, I believe we have a responsibility to proclaim Jesus as Messiah every day. You know, Jesus Christ has the answer for our hopelessness. Say, "Pastor, I only desire peace." If you truly desire peace, then our desire should be to get each one to the Prince of Peace. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God is what will change our society. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 that there was a great uproar in all the city because believers had come in and turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be that kind of salt and light. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 23, the Bible says that as they went out and proclaimed Jesus as Messiah, there was no small stir. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible says there was a great uproar because Paul and the disciples had preached Jesus Christ. We ought to proclaim Jesus as Messiah every day. How often do we run from the name of Jesus? Someone brings up the Lord at work. Someone criticizes or takes God's name in vain, and we're ashamed to speak up for Him. Many years ago, I heard an evangelist declare that God doesn't need any more Christians involved in His secret service. He wants us to be open and honest with the lost and telling them of their need of the Savior. Number one, we're praying for our country every day. What is our duty as a citizen here? We're praying for our nation, praying that people will listen to the truth because their eternal destination is at stake. We proclaim Jesus as Messiah every day, but then number three, I do believe that it's important for us who know Christ to be preparing for that city every day. Well, I love the United States of America, and I am so thankful for it. There have been times that I've been outside of the country for an extended period of time, and I look forward to that time where I'm headed back in. But the danger for me as a believer is to have my roots so deeply in this place that I'm not living for that place. And as we read the passage again here in verse number 13 in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They're nomads as it relates to the things of this earth. Strangers and pilgrims, it's kind of the difference between the way that Abraham was living and the way that Lot lived. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He began looking towards Sodom. He began to long towards Sodom, to the place where he eventually set down his roots in Sodom. And Abraham said, "I'm looking for that city." Lot said, "I'm content with this city." Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and following, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Boy, I don't want the Lord to come back and to find me so deeply connected here that I'm not ready to go there. Boy, there's so many beautiful sights in this nation. There's so many beautiful sights around the globe. Places that you can go and things that your eyes can take in. Some of you have traveled to exotic places and gorgeous places. You've seen the sun rise and you've seen the sun set. And you say, man, I can't imagine that there be anything more beautiful than this. Again, as I reflect on my wife's love of the Washington Monument. Every time we're near Washington, if the sun is setting, my wife is there with her camera taking another photo of the Washington Monument and the sun setting. I'm like, sweetheart, you've got thousands of these. Yes, but this one might be a little bit different. There's so many beautiful sights. So many beautiful things. So many places of solace. So many places of tranquility. So many gorgeous things to see from sea to shining sea. And there's a danger in all of that, that I put my roots down so deeply here that I'm not living prepared to go there. It's interesting when we read stories like Acts chapter 12, where the Bible says that James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod the king. And then the Bible goes on to detail for us that Peter was also taken, and the church began to pray for Peter's deliverance. Well, surely you and I know what that means when we pray for a believer's deliverance. We're praying for them to be spared from certain death. And when we read Acts chapter 12, we rejoice in the deliverance of Peter, and we sorrow over the death of James. But I tell you, my friend, James was the one that was actually delivered. God had some other things for Peter to do down here, but James was ushered from this tabernacle into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often we mourn over the loss of James, and we rejoice in the protection of Peter. But the Apostle Paul declared the truth when he said, "For to me, if you ask me my opinion, to live is Christ. I'm here for Him. But to die is gain, because I then go to the place of my ultimate citizenship." Boy, as much as I love my American passport, I never want to have my roots so deeply here on this earth that I've become set like Lot, where Lot longed for all these things, and Lot set his face there, and Lot wanted all that stuff. Abraham said, "No, I'm not putting my roots too deeply here, because I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim." It's quite possible that you have coworkers and neighbors that think it's strange of you every Sunday morning to get up and to get dressed, and like clockwork, you head off to church. They look at your life and think it's strange that you would have a copy of the Word of God. What can that book possibly mean to you on a day-to-day basis? Yeah, they look at us as though we're strangers. And we must be vigilant, even though we're dual citizenship citizens. We have a dual citizenship. We have a duty in citizenship. And then number three, we have a danger in citizenship. And I've already reflected on some of it, but let me just go further. The danger of citizenship, the danger in this dual citizenship, is that I'm more attached to this place than I am to that place. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Boy, we've gotten very good at protecting our stuff, haven't we? Years ago, right here in Burke, in our house, we had an open field behind our house, and on two different occasions, we got robbed in our home, and we returned to our home. One occasion, they took jewelry. Another occasion, I think they took maybe a few more things than that. But we got robbed twice. It was within a few years, and so we came up with a master plan to stop burglaries at our house. And my dad went and got signs that said, this house is protected by a burglary system. We didn't have the burglary system, but we put up signs all over the house that our house was now protected with the burglary system. And so we're like, hey, we'll be good. We didn't get robbed again, so they must have believed the signs. Think about where we are now. Sitting across the table with someone yesterday, and they said that they closed their garage door with their phone because their husband had left it up when he left the house. And they were on their phone, and they said, ooh, the garage door was left open. I better go ahead and close that. So they closed the garage door. Man, oh man. That's amazing. We got video cameras all over the place. We're watching everything. We hide our valuables. We want to make sure everything's in a good location. We have false books and hidden safes and all these different kinds of things because we're going to protect all of our stuff. But God gives us the truth here in Matthew chapter 6. Thieves can still break in and steal. Things will still rot. Things will still have lost their value. How many are sitting here in the auditorium and you would tell me and you tell everyone else this morning that when you were 10 years old, you had a copy of Mickey Mantle's rookie card. You thought Mickey Mantle was the best thing going and you wanted Mickey Mantle to be with you everywhere. And so you took that Mickey Mantle that Mickey Mantle baseball card and attached it to the front wheel of your bicycle. Hey, Mickey Mantle's on the front tire of my bicycle. And now you have the t-shirt that says, when I moved out of the house, my mother threw all my baseball cards away. Find out that Mickey Mantle's rookie card sells for $25,000 plus. Oh, it was on my bicycle. Why did I do that? Yeah, you know what? We put a lot of stock in a lot of things down here that will rust and that will corrupt. And God says, I want you to be mindful of this. There's a danger that you will want to be more attached to this place than you are to that place. I find it interesting that in Numbers chapter 11, the people rejected the steps of faith that God had before them. And they started longing for days gone by. And they were longing for a different land than what God had promised them. And they chided with Moses because they were not willing to trust that God had a better place for them. There's a danger that I'm more attached to this place than I am to that place. Number two, there's a danger that I serve the things of this country more than I serve the things of that country. We only have so much time on this earth. Well, I tell you what, we can invest our time in a myriad of different ways, but more often than not, I find myself investing in things that don't matter for eternity. And I wonder if all of us as believers, if we've not been missing out on the blessings of Almighty God because all of our efforts have been in this arena. All of my efforts are in this arena, and I want to see this arena be successful. And instead of investing for Almighty God in what He desires, we've missed out on serving the efforts of that country. The third thing in this danger of this dual citizenship, there's a danger that I place more confidence in the things that I have in this country than in the things that I have in that country. Psalm 20 and verse number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There is a danger that I place more confidence in what is happening in this nation and what is taking place here than I trust, than I put confidence in the leadership of that country. I am thankful this morning for my dual citizenship. I don't know about you. You could be a citizen of many, many different great countries, but I do hope that on this day and on this weekend, as we remember the sacrifices of our family members and friends, those have been made that we might be free, that we might have our citizenship here in this great land. Many years ago, I was able to travel, 2005, in fact, I was able to travel to the Philippines. And our intention was to leave Manila and the airport in Manila and to fly down to Mindanao and to spend a couple of weeks in Mindanao in different churches and doing missions conferences. But as we had the opportunity to go back up to Manila, we had a couple of days there in Manila before we flew out, and the missionary, the pastor of the church there in Manila took us to the American Philippine Cemetery that is there in Manila. And it was a very special time for me because I didn't know that it would be as significant as it was. But right there in the Philippines, in Manila, at what is the equivalent of the Arlington Cemetery there for the men and women that have died, right there on the wall, I looked up and I saw this name, Raymond Abbey. And that's my grandfather's brother, who was killed in World War II in March of 1945. I didn't know that I would see his name in a position like that. I didn't know if I'd have to search for it or whatever. I knew that he had passed in that theater of the war, but I didn't know that I would see it as distinctive as it was. And I look at my own family, and I'm sure there are many here this morning that would look at their family members, and they'd say, I'm so thankful that this family member or that family member or this friend or that friend was willing to sacrifice that we might be free. Take some time over the course of these days to thank God for the freedoms that He's given us in this land. But beyond that freedom, you can have freedom in Christ today. And it's quite possible that someone that's gathered here in the auditorium or someone that's watching online has never reached that day of rebirth. You see, we were not born in perfection the first time. We must be born again. And so it's true for every man, woman, and child that's gathered here, that's under the sound of my voice. There must be a time and a point in time where you receive Jesus as your Savior, because you see, there is only one way for citizenship in heaven. But my fellow believer, would you please see this morning that just as there have been those that have sacrificed for our freedom in this country, there are men and women sacrificing all over this globe to bring people out of the darkness of sin and Satan and to give them the freedom that is found only in the Savior. And that's exactly why God has you here. That's exactly why God has us in this place, in this unique part of our country, that we might be salt and light. Here's what I'm saying to everyone this morning. Whatever your position from man's vision and man's employment standards might be, it is all secondary to the fact that we are believers. And that as believers, we should carry forth the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and to take His flag into the darkness of sin and the darkness of Satan. And where you might be looking around at other Christians that are really just driving their roots in deep, and they're like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the time comes that God says He's going to end it all. And you're so tied to it that you're willing to look back. And God says, I don't want you looking there. I want you looking there. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor, the next election cycle is going to solve all of our problems. The next time that there's an opportunity to vote, that's going to change. That's going to fix all of our problems. Oh, I'm still going to do my response. I'm going to fulfill my responsibility, and I'm going to vote. But I'm just telling you right now, the answer will never come from Washington. The answer for each and every one of us as dual citizens is when the Lord Jesus Christ says it's time, and He calls us home. And by the way, the first time He came as a lamb, the next time He's coming, not as a lamb, to give Himself a ransom for all, He's coming as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And buddy, mark it down. Listen to me carefully. Revelation 19, we're coming back with Him. And so while God has me here, I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to be a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the vast majority of people around me are not dual citizens. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us that have been granted the great privilege of this nation and then been given the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have much to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time here in this passage and thinking on that city, looking forward to that day when Jesus Christ calls us home. I want to be very careful so as not to put my roots in too deeply here. I want to be looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm looking for a city not made with hands. I've set my sights towards Jesus and His soon return. Yes, I desire to fulfill my obligations here on this side and to be a good citizen of this great land. It is my desire on this weekend to remember the many family members and friends that have sacrificed that we might be free. Beyond that, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the throne of heaven, took upon Himself the form of flesh, was made in the likeness of men, and He endured the full death of the cross, that He might reconcile sinful men to a holy God. Perhaps there's one or more individuals that's sitting before me or listening to my voice via the live stream, and of their own testimony, they would acknowledge this morning that they are not yet dual citizens. They've never been reborn. They've never been birthed into the family of God. I do pray right now in the quietness of this moment that they would recognize their sin, that they would repent of that sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says that they can receive Jesus and be born again on this very day. They can become a member of the family of God. Lord, for each one that knows the Lord as their Savior, I pray that we'd be outstanding citizens of this nation, because we're looking forward to that heavenly place. God has something for us here, and I pray that we'd be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I have a time of invitation this morning. And again, this time of invitation is for you if you've not received Christ. We have several that are down here towards the front that would love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you have a citizenship in heaven. You can be born again this morning. We'd love to take the Bible and show you exactly what God has said about your need today. If you know Christ as your Savior, would you pray for our nation? Would you pray for those things that have gone astray, the things that have gone outside of the direction of the Word of God? Would you pray for those needs this morning? Boy, there's so much to think on. So many that have yet to trust Jesus as their Savior, and their eternal life is at stake. Perhaps you have a spouse, you have children, neighbors, co-workers. You interact with these folks every single day, and they stand in desperate need of seeing Jesus in you and hearing of Jesus' saving grace from you. Would you take time to pray for our nation during this time of invitation? I'm going to ask the instrumentalist this morning to play that wonderful song, number 509, I Must Tell Jesus. I Must Tell Jesus. I love that song. So much is said in that song, and I do pray. If you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll step out and come. If you know Christ, you'll take time, pray. Pray for those that serve in our legislative bodies. Pray for those that serve in our judicial bodies. Pray for those that are serving in our executive wing. This nation was founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It was founded upon His Word. Pray that each of these people in these different arenas would go back to the Bible and they'd follow the Word of God. Christians would stand, that preachers would preach. Would you pray for our nation? Pray for our nation. On my birth certificate, it tells every detail about that first moment that I came into this world. Gives the date, tells the nature of my dad, tells the nature of my mom, tells the location. It's a confirmation that I was brought into this world. Well, you know what? Almighty God did the same thing for me when I was born again. And He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know that I'm sealed by His blessed Holy Spirit. Is that true in your heart and life today? That you've got a heavenly birth certificate? You've been born again? If not, again, my friend, we invite you to come. Be saved today. Father, thank You so very much for these folks. I've come this morning to be here in special services for God and country. I am ever so grateful for this blessed land. Thank You, Lord, for the United States of America. Lord, I do pray that we would be a righteous nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But as wonderful as this nation is, I don't want to ever have my roots so deeply intertwined in this place that I'm not ready to go to that place. I want to be a stranger, a pilgrim, passing through. I want to continually be looking for that city that God has prepared. Bless each one of these folks this morning. Again, if there be one that's not yet been saved as they leave today, Lord, I pray that they'd not soon get away from the truth of the one road that leads to heaven. And I pray that they be saved today. Thank You for our time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm supposed to turn this over to Brother Reuben, but this is always dangerous. So I'm going to turn